Acts chapter 27 tonight. Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at a very familiar scripture, no doubt, to me, I'm sure here, all of you, I hope. And this very familiar scripture in many ways. We know that this was during the time that Paul had asked to be taken to Rome to be tried before Caesar. And we know that this early part of chapter 27 talks about he was put on a ship, a cargo vessel, more or so. I believe it wasn't a pastor ship, for a fact. But we do know that, to get into this, where that Paul told them, you know, we shouldn't be traveling this sea this time of the year. But there was a centurion who was seemed like they maybe the head of the fleet. He wouldn't listen to Paul, and so they started out on their voyage. But started out seemingly perfect weather, but didn't get too far down. They were traveling in verse 14, so they came into a very tempestuous wind called a Eurosilodon. And that would be, we would know in our main day, as a hurricane or cyclone. Very, very dangerous storm. And as we see that they talk about the ship, it was caught and would not bear up the wind and would enter drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, I'm reading verse 16, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, upgirded the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands, at tackling all the ship. And when either sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You notice that word hope. Paul spoke of that hope that, you know, it looked like it was a hopeless cause for him and those men on this ship, and also for the ship itself. But we see in verse 21, it said, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of many man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. 15 fathoms is about 3 foot in our standard measurement. And then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out on the stern of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under the colors, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldier, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them that all that take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day. Ye have stirred and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for you, for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when they had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God and praised them and all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then when they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. That adds up to 276 men. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded. if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Well, I read all this for a reason. This is a story of that happened in the days of Paul, and this took place over in one of the seas, maybe the Adrian Sea or in that area there. But we do know that he was on this great it was a cargo ship, and was, as I said, 276 men on this boat or ship, whatever it may be. And so he gives us all the details of everything that went on, from the lightening of the load to the to having to make repairs to the ship because the terrible storm had went through, to even sounding. And then they thought they'd start seeing rocks. So we see that they dropped four anchors down off the back, or the, I think it said it, off the helm of the ship. And so we notice here that there's much been said about this before. I've heard a lot preached on this, but I want to look at something. The anchor of this great ship, this great boat, they were very important. They were very important. No comparison size to the ship, no doubt. But I don't know if anybody ever saw an anchor or not, but I know we were in Boston Harbor. Up there, we went up there and we walked on the old USS Constitution. And there were these massive anchors. I don't know if y'all took pictures of them or not, but they were massive. I looked at them things and wondered how in the world could David pick them things up or get them up on the boat, or even how the boat could even hold them. It's so big. But you think four of them, they were massive. No doubt, tons of weight because they were heavy metal. And so I looked at them, and I even remember looking at them, and just unbelievable. But every one I saw was not one little round piece of metal. It was not just some big oblong object to drop in the water to drag and snag on something. Every one of them had two hooks on them, come down, you know, and do that. And that was for a reason. Those things had been tried and tested. And the object was that when the one would get into an area, when it hit the bottom of the sea, when it dug in, the tighter that ship pulled, that other one pushed it down to where it would get tight. And so that's the whole object of this. And we're going to look at the anchor of the ship. We'll look at that, but we'll soon get into the anchor of the soul, you know, our connection with the anchor as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this day. Thankful for the blessing of being able to be here tonight, to be a part of this service. And Lord, I ask you to bless you upon your word. We bring it forth. Help me to bring what you've laid on my heart. And ask you, Lord, just to help me say the right things and nothing that be contrary to your word. And it be a blessing and help to each one here tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize that we do have an anchor. One that our connection is to. And we do know that he's sitting at your right hand tonight, our anchor of hope. And Lord, we just thank you for this blessed hope we have as your children tonight. And Lord, help me to bring these things out, Lord, where we can clearly understand the purpose of the anchor we see here in this great ship. But also we know that the purpose of our anchor, Jesus Christ, and where he's at tonight. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just bless us going through this evening. Watch over us. And Lord, bless our pastors. He travels, and bring him and his wife back home with us, and give him safe journey, and hand Emmanuel, though his belly be traveling. And then, Lord, we pray for the sick. Lord, pray for my mom tonight, not feeling well. Just bless her with a night of rest, Lord, and another day. And bless her, Lord. We'll see her improving her health, Lord, at this time. And others are sick. We think of Bill Darby. They're yet in hospital. Be with him. And always many others, Lord, but on a prayer list. You know that need. And pray, God, just supply that need. Bless those that broken heart and breathe, those lost loved ones here recently around us and our family. Lord, please you to bring comfort to their hearts. Lord, bless the lost, Lord, around us, facing this service tonight. For be those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray, dear God, you touch their hearts and touch them in a way that they would just see their lost condition and trust Jesus Christ tonight, their Lord and Savior. Lord, bless me, go on and watch over us and continue to bless this church down through the year, Lord, to come. And again, we thank you for all your blessings. And forgive me where I've sinned against you. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. These anchors were a very important part of that ship. Not much was said about the anchor. They were a very, very essential part of these great ships. As I said, this was not no very small ship, because you see it had four on it. So I tell you, it was a very large vessel. Most ships, didn't maybe had maybe one or two. Some even maybe just had one. I know up there on that the USS Constitution, I didn't see no cable laying around. They were massive ropes, Y'all remember all the big ropes and all these big anchors and stuff. And on that ship, you never see no metal cable or nothing. But it was known they had large chains. I did see a lot of big chains, big 4-inch length chains and so forth. So these things were very important. And these vessels here, they were essential in getting the goods and the people from one place to the other. But when they came in a storm, that anchor was very important, because these anchors, they were for these to hold the vessel in place. There's something else that is essential, and I said it has to be the rope or cable or chain, whatever they use. That was very essential as well. But I thought about that. When those big ships are in harbor, you see activity, people working all the time. They're doing something. But, I thought about this. We've been rigged. We've been rigs all our life. You don't get in a rig with a messed up cable on it. You don't make sure those cables are round on those spools and there's no kinks in it. There's no bird nest, we would call it. You would not want to loop one way or the other. Everything would be right. I think when those ships left out, in case of a storm, they were prepared for it. Those old shipmen had to keep those cables right on par, rolled up to where that would be when that let down. There was nothing to cause a disruption. These cables were attached to that anchor. So when it was let down to the bottom of the ocean to where it could dig in and take hold, once it took hold, the wind would be blowing contrary to the offside. When it take hold, that thing would start to dig in. And once they dug in to where that they had a hole, they would start using some sort of, I've seen the big wheel with it was wood, and where they had the big ropes on it, they would start cranking that thing to where it got good and tight. And it held that vessel. It held that vessel till the storm passed by. Before these ships left harbor, I'm telling you, they had to be a lot of preparation. But there's one thing they could not see when that ship or that anchor got to the bottom. They could not tell where the anchor was at. They could not tell what the anchor was hooked on. They didn't know whether it was hooked on a big old boulder, just barely hooked on the edge of it, or hooked on another old sinking ship or something out in that ocean. They didn't know what it was hooked on. I'm sure a lot of the pastors had a lot of sleepless nights. Wonder if that thing would break loose while we were sleeping. Don't know where that thing dug in good and deep in the ocean bed, or it's hooked out here on the edge of a rock. Could come loose any minute if that wind would shift one way or the other direction. They knew without the anchor digging in deeper, as the ship pulled hard against it, that they were in trouble if it broke loose. These winds, no doubt, would take them into these rocks. They were, like we read here in this story, and they knew the fate then, that it would break away. We were in a little situation down in Florida, weren't we, Jamie? We were heading into a big old reef. No, couldn't control our boat. We knew what happened. We got in it, but we didn't get in it. Somebody jumped out of the boat. Yeah. Anyway, I think of all these, and I read this, and I looked at it, and I know we have those that has been on cruise ships, and they have got on there with confidence that everything was prepared, every anchor was in place, every little boat that was hanging on to the side in case something had happened, really, really ready to go and fueled up. So they had a lot of confidence in that cruise, the boat, the ship, whatever, carnival, whatever it was. They had a lot of confidence in that. And that's the same way with these men. When they got in that ship, I'm sure they had a lot of confidence in it. But I said a while ago, this anchor was very important. These anchors on this were actually very important to them. As this line pulled, and once it did dig into the bottom of that ocean, it pulled tighter to where they, and the old experienced seamen, they could probably tell what they hooked on. You know, they they could probably feel a little movement and probably went digging in. I know I remember reading about where that there was a boat, a ship out in a turbulent water, and one of the old crewmen, he came along and asked the captain, you know, he's in a terrible storm, and he said, "Captain," he says, "there's a lot of danger and fear out here, Anthony." The captain never said nothing, and he said he thought he never heard him. Said he told captain, said there's a lot of fear and captain out here or danger out here. He said he spoke real soft. Said young man, there's a lot of fear out here, but no danger. These old seamen, they knew, you know, they could tell by experience, but not all of them were seasoned. Not all the passengers of all these prisoners, even Paul, but. We do know that when that their anchor struck bottom, it dug in. It dug in. The harder the pull, the more it dug in to where it was solid. I want to bring this out to show us that very important lesson here, that God does not want his people, nor does he intend for us to be living a shipwrecked life all life, fretting about the thing. I know we're living in turbulent times in our world today, and we see all this going on, and people are beginning to worry, you know, and think, you know, what are we going to do? Well, God's word here tells us. Paul, I think here he shows us these anchors, and he brought into play these. But you know, over in Hebrews, he mentioned about something about the anchors as well, the anchor, and I want us to see here that we as God's people have an anchor of the soul the world around us does not have, the lost world. We have an anchor of the soul. You go back to Hebrews chapter 6 with me and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16 through 20. You notice here it says, "For men barely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. It is to them an end of all strife." An oath is something that confirmed something to, and when it was agreed upon, it was settled. Then he goes on, "Wherein God willing more abundant to show us the heirs of the promise, unto the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath." Who are the heirs of the promise? He talked about you and I today as his people, his children. He said that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. And then he says, "Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." And then he says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters," he says here, "into that within the veil." The writer here of Hebrews, I believe, is none other than Paul himself, the same one that wrote the word we read over in the book of Acts. We see here now another account of the anchor. The anchor here, in terms of spiritually speaking, it's just like the anchor on the ship. If you notice, the anchor and the ship always had to be connected. Without a connection, there would be no help. So we see in this, I think here, first thing we must realize that we as God's people have a great hope, a blessed hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says here that hope is as an anchor of the soul. And we as God's people, as I emphasize much, we have much to be thankful for. We're so blessed. See, the writer of Hebrews, whom I believe is the Apostle Paul, brings us to another aspect of an anchor. He shows us the spiritual aspect of an anchor, as in Acts he shows the physical aspect of an anchor. The first thing we see is the impossibility of God to lie. God does not lie. And what God tells you and I, his people, and what Christ himself tells his people, you know, when he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's a hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that a ship holds its anchor securely by its cable. It's held at the same time, but at the same time, the most important thing is that the anchor keeps its own hold on the ship. You know, they work together. The anchor and the ship work together. One is tied with the end that tightens it up, and the other one is an anchor on the other end. They work together. They work hand in hand. Because it is dug into the ground on the sea bottom, it holds the vessel hard and fast. They work both together for the security and safety on the behalf of the pastors on board. We know much about the things that are working together. You know, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God Himself. They all three work together in our lives and on the behalf of us in this life in which we live, in our turbulent life we're living in today. These three work together, and I believe that you think of the ship, that being God, and that cable, whatever, that would be in the Holy Spirit, ties us to the anchor. The apostle plainly states that we as God's people, those who have fled to Him for refuge, have a blessed hope. And we see that right here. And it is a hope of refuge. As we saw here, he said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Then it says, I want to use again verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We as God's people, and I keep emphasizing that, we as God's people, we may have a few discomforts in life. We may have a lot of disruptions in life. We do. I'm not going to say may have. We do have. But along the way, we have all these, but there's one thing I see here in this. We will never be disconnected from the anchor of the soul. That's a promise from God. That's a promise. We mentioned the unseen grip of the anchor. We don't know what, they didn't know when that thing got down the bottom what kind of grip it had on it. But we as God people cannot see the spiritual anchor either, physically. Think about that. But we have a great promise, don't we? Just like the promise of that anchor on that ship, they know that if it took hold, you know, it was a surety of safety. See, we don't see the physical anchor, and it is Christ and another, Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't see Him only spiritually. Our good hope is now in heaven. He's that good hope that we've spoken of. He's in heaven. He is on the right hand of the Father. He is the anchor of our hope. There's an old song that we used to sing, The Haven of Rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. John 20 and 29 is part of that verse here. John 20 and 29. Back up here a minute. John 20 and 29. And you'll see part of this verse tells us something else. Yep, bear with me. I've kind of got an old raspy throat again. John 20 and 29. Latter part of that verse, we'll probably read all of it. Where it says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But notice what he says here in his last part. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. We are a blessed people. He said, blessed are they that have not and blessed are they that have not seen. 1 Peter 1 and 8. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Go with me over here. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This one thing we can be assured of, God's people, by the eye of faith, we know that anchor is there. By the eye of faith, we know that we're safe in that anchor that's set at the right hand of the Father. We know that he's sitting there today making intercession for us. Folks, we think of that anchor and where he's at tonight, and he is that anchor. We have something that we have confidence in. We have confidence in knowing that we don't have to worry about where that anchor is. We know where it's at. We know that it's strong and it's a mighty anchor. See, our anchor is written, he says here, within the veil. That's what the scripture tells us there in the reading of this here a thing that went on with them. It talked about the anchor in the veil. He said, you know, what it means, you know, you go back to the Old Testament, nobody could see behind that veil. It was the only thing going there was the high priest. Nobody could see behind that veil. Nobody could see behind it. But they knew there's something powerful behind. They knew God was there. They knew the power of God was there. They knew that there was a power there that they could not see physically, but they believed. See, we cannot see with the physical eye. But I believe there's something we can feel. The tension. There, you know, the tension on that cable, on that line. There's something I believe we as God people today, We have a line called the Holy Spirit. When we get kind of maybe fretting, seem like that, don't that line kind of tighten up a little bit? I think that's what we see here. I think that anchor protects us. I think a lot of time when we maybe start getting into a place we shouldn't be or into probably some problem, I think that line kind of pulls us a little bit. I believe we have much to say about that anchor. But, you know, we seem like there's like old big hurricanes out there, and that ship that Paul was on, the harder the wind pulled, I believe the tighter and the more that anchor dug in. I believe we as God people today have that same promise. We're living in a perilous time, but I don't believe we got anything to worry about, because I believe with all my heart that anchor we have, I believe he is dug in. I believe he's dug in to where we have nothing or no worry whatsoever that we should be worrying about. We all have a consolation. We have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to hold on. Or up on the hope that is set before us. Now somebody say, well, you know, by holding on, we know that he holds on to us. But I believe that we had in our mind, we have something we can hold on to be comforted in, and knowing that he is our anchor. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Where it says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Today we must be steadfast. We must be always unmovable. Just like that ship out there, when it's tied at anchor, the harder the wind blow, the tighter the cable gets. That's the way our faith should be today. The world is blowing hard against us. But I believe the harder it blows, our faith, that core, that faith should get stronger, don't you think? We should get, it should be binding, and we should be drawn tighter every day to our Lord. Beloved, some people have a cloudy hope. They seem to have a very doubtful way of laying hold of it. And you get around people today, and you mingle with people, and I'm telling you what, there's a lot of cloudy hopes out there. You better be sure. As I said a while ago, those seamen, when they left out that harbor with Paul and all those other men, all those, our cargo, they had some valuable things on that thing. That was serious. I believe people today need to look seriously. What anchor are you holding on to? What is your hope today if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? We have all the authorization that sinner needs for laying hold of the anchor of their soul. It's right here in God's Word. That's the reason one day those who have rejected Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, they'll now have no excuse. Because God provided an anchor. He provided something that was secure, that would hold and never move. And it stayed in place. It never faltered. It never wavered in no way whatsoever. It is found in the fact that God sent forth His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. The gracious hope that God provided for man to be saved is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is that anchor of the soul. My prayers to the lost, you know, that you lay hold of that anchor. Because without that, there is no hope. The ship, after it had cleared and they thought they'd seen an island or a little inland port, the Apostle Paul said they entered into that ship. But they didn't leave until after, they didn't do nothing after the anchors were pulled up. Once the anchor were pulled up, we know what happened. That ship broke apart, didn't it? Folks, one of these days, this anchor is going to be pulled up. It's going to be pulled out of the world. And you want to see that, according to what we've seen, Brother John said in Revelation, there's going to be a terrible breaking up of things we know today as, you know, ordinary and okay. But God made a way when He said, you know, Christ Himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As I said a while ago, that told Him, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea no more. I pray tonight that, you know what, little bit I could get from this and bring out that it's been a help to each one of you. May God help us to realize that there is an anchor of our soul. And it is steadfast. It's unmovable. It'll never move. I'm thankful for that. I'm sure that there have been many a seaman and many a people thankful for the anchors on the big ships and boats that have been out in these terrible waters, and knowing that it was available and ready to work when it was let down. Saved many a people, no doubt. But many people realize to forget about the importance of the anchor. You know, the anchor was one that dug in and done the holding. Today, many people forget about our anchor. He's one dug in. He didn't give in. He dug in. And he held. He held it. He's still holding today. He's holding you and I. Something to think about, isn't it? The anchor of the soul. What a Savior we have. Folks, that's my lesson tonight. Brother Jared, come and lead another song.
Number 61.